We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today sports media group. Joining me right now, our favorite Memphisian, Chris Biederman, live from Memphis. He's out on assignment for his job. So kind enough to hop on the road, and we appreciate the hell out of that. But not nearly as much as we appreciate our friends at Lamb Chops, Chris. I know you've been flying, and I'm not sure there's a better time for Lamb Chops than on a flight.
No, definitely not. Winter time, a little bit cooler out here. Was in Atlanta earlier in the week, flew to Memphis, definitely chilly. Lamb Chops coming up clutch. Got quite a few compliments in Atlanta while I was wearing my ash gray Lamb Chops hoodie, both at the game and around town in the ATL. So shout out to our friends at Lamb Chops for keeping us looking dope. Keeping us comfortable and obviously the zippered pockets, just keeping us secure as well. We love that.
Pickpocketers, not today. SGLambChops.com is the website. Promo code Candlestick20. Candlestick20, that'll get you 20% off your order. Also follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops. Do that today. We're also sponsored by Cooperage Brewing. We love Cooperage. I've always wanted to have a favorite brewery, and now I have one. I've yet to have a beer from Cooperage that I don't like, but I especially love, you know what it is, the Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA. I keep it stocked in my fridge. It's delicious. And you can get yours today at CooperageBrewing.com.
They're coming out with new beer all the time. The Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA has been there basically the entirety of football season. It's been awesome to see in our third year with the Candlestick Chronicles Hazy run. It's been awesome. And all their beer is good, whether you want a hazy pale ale, a regular pale ale, a hazy IPA, a West Coast IPA, a wheat beer, a oatmeal stout, a pilsner, anything you could possibly want, a lager, they have, and it's all good, and it's award-winning. One could argue the vibes at the brewery itself are award-winning, but being able to get it shipped straight to your door if you're of age 21 or up, anywhere within the state of California, should also be award-winning. We should create some awards for that. So shout out to Cooperage, our long-standing sponsor.
CooperageBrewing.com. Okay, let's talk about the 49ers. Huge Sunday morning for San Francisco. Let's talk about it.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Has got him in a second back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives, and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
Okay, so I'm not really, like, the 49ers beat the Commanders 27-10, which was great, but what happened after the game was far more important, because the 49ers got the help they needed from the Cowboys on Saturday when they knocked off the Lions, and then going into Sunday it was like, okay, well, the 49ers, they'll probably beat the Commanders, but can Arizona go into Philadelphia and win and clinch the 49ers the one seed? And it turns out they could. They got a late touchdown, 34-31 the final in Philly. And the 49ers not only get a win over the Commanders to help wash away the ugly Week 16 loss to Baltimore, but now they exit Week 17 as the number one seed in the NFC, which is massive because they looked to me today. It is pretty dominant performance against a bad Commanders team, but I think a top-end 49ers performance is probably beating Washington like 41-3. And instead it was 27-10. They had two trips inside the five that resulted in three total points. They gave up a long touchdown drive. They were on track to give up another long touchdown drive before Sam Howell threw a pick. It just wasn't an A-plus 49ers performance. And I mean, they kind of looked like they did before the bye, which painted to me like, man, they could really use the week 18 to rest a couple guys and then use that first round bye. And now they have it.
Yeah, to me, the biggest thing coming out of this game, I mean, we knew going in, we talked about it last week, it would probably be a C-plus, B-minus performance coming off a short week, flying all the way to D.C. Yep. And Washington, frankly, is so bad that you can get away with a B-minus, C-plus performance and still win by 17 points. And that's essentially what happened. But the big thing and what happened Sunday sort of exemplifies it, right? You have Christian McCaffrey dealing with a calf strain, and Kyle Shanahan indicated to reporters afterwards that it's not going to be serious. But now you get an extra 2 weeks for McCaffrey to get healthy. You give Trent Williams some time to get healthy. He's probably not going to play next week, right? If he does, it would probably be very little. I would imagine next week looks like a preseason game with the 49ers having the one seed wrapped up.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't play Brock Purdy. Like I wouldn't, you know, I'd maybe suit him up and have him go through pregame warmups, but I wouldn't play him. Not with, you know, dealing with the shoulder stingers that he's had. So you now have the luxury to sit a lot of your key guys with the Rams coming. And who knows, that game still has not been scheduled. There's a chance that game's on Saturday.
Oh God, so the 49ers, that would have been brutal.
The 49ers would have had, I mean, I think it's probably more likely that the game is on Sunday now that the 49ers have that game, have the one seed wrapped up, right? Because it takes all the significance out of it for the 49ers. So the NFL Network should not want a Sam Darnold, you know, JP Mason.
Sam Demetrius Darnold was kind of slinging it against the Ravens.
But the point stands. Like the biggest thing to come out of Sunday was the fact that the 49ers now essentially get 2 weeks to rest their guys and get guys coming back off injury rather than having to play a playoff game in round one. And look, the Eagles did the 49ers a huge solid by losing. Like it is wild how that game went. The Cardinals basically doubled up the Eagles on yardage and time of possession.
Yeah, dude. They kind of kicked their ass.
I was watching that game here in my hotel room. I had two screens going. Shout out to YouTube TV.
Nice,
and
dude.
In the second half, as soon as the Cardinals went down to score their first touchdown after they were down 21-6, I believe it was. I was like, oh wait, the Eagles are not offering much resistance defensively. Like this could be a game that the Cardinals can steal here.
It just kept
going that way.
Every
it was
time
wild.
I had, because I'm watching the Niner game, but I have the NFL game stats and information system up, NFL Jesus, as it's called. And I have that up on the Cardinals game. And like you, Philly would score. And then I'd watch a Niner game for a bit. And then, you know, at a break or between plays, I'd look down. And every time I looked down, it was the Cardinals in Philly territory. Every single time. It was unbelievable. I'm not, wow, I don't. Philly's in a tough spot, man. Now they're the five
defenses,
by the way.
Their defense is just not good, and they're for whatever reason, their intermediate passing game and it's all feast or famine. It's like it's Jalen Hurts running around being able to complete a bunch of deep passes to his receivers, or it's a running game working. And there's no like intermediate passing game with them, it seems like. And the defense, their defense is their biggest issue. But we don't have to talk about the Eagles right now.
I think
let's talk about the Niners game, because they get the touchdown early in the third quarter. It's 20-13 and then, or 20-10, sorry. And then the Commanders are driving, and it feels like, man, this could be kind of a pain in the ass game for the Niners.
Yes.
Like if the Commanders went and scored there to make it a 3-point game, then you're like, okay, like you still feel good about the Niners winning because they're clearly so much better, but this mm-hmm. game takes on a different tenor in the second half. You play tight. Anything can happen in the league, right? Like you teams mm-hmm. get upset all the time. We're talking about the Eagles Cardinals game. Like the game could have gone that route. And then Nick Bosa gets the pressure on Sam Howell. He throws the bad ball that got intercepted by Mooney Ward. The Niners go down the other way and get a touchdown. Brock Purdy throws. I thought that was one of the best throws Purdy's made all season. The deep ball to Ayuk.
That was a dime ski.
He's thrown a lot of really good passes this year. That might have been his best one or one of his best ones.
I thought that was impressive because that was pretty good coverage by the DB. I don't know who it was, but he had good coverage. And if Purdy puts more air under that, it may allow the DB to get his head around and make a play on the ball. If he underthrows it a little bit, the DB is making a play on the ball. If he overthrows it, it's you know, Ayuk's not catching up to it. It was just a kind of a line drive deep shot throw when it needed to be. And I'm with you. That was a really, really fine throw.
And then they get the touchdown to Ayuk where Purdy makes that play outside of structure. Which is funny that's like the two biggest plays of the game for the Niners offensively, I thought, were the first throw to Ayuk and then the Ayuk touchdown.
Yep.
While like the broadcast opens the game, like there's been a lot of talk about Brock Purdy as a game manager. It's like, sure. If you're like not watching, you
know, yeah, right.
If you haven't watched every snap, you know that Brock Purdy makes like a handful of throws that are just mm-hmm. absolute dots that the 49ers have to have.
Did
like week in and week out. It's not, you know, like this game manager thing that just like continues to like perpetuate the national narrative of like, yeah, well, we check in on the Niners, but we don't watch every snap, which is fine. But it was funny that those were the biggest plays of the game. With the backdrop of the broadcast being like, is he a game manager or not? Let's talk about it.
I did think today though, whether it was, and I don't know, and I don't know if we ever will, I don't know if it was something the 49ers thought they could attack with Washington's defense, but it did feel like a much less downfield attacking game plan from the 49ers. Against a pretty bad secondary. So I don't know if it was Kyle Shanahan just trying to kind of help Brock out of that 4-interception game, particularly early, because they started taking a couple shots late, and I know there was the early one to Kyle Juszczyk that he dropped. But I don't know if that was him trying to help Purdy kind of navigate his way through bouncing back from a 4-interception game, or if it was game plan specific for Washington. It felt run heavy, short throws, kind of those horizontal throws, a lot of pop passes to Deebo Samuel. I think there were two or three of those. So that was that's what was a little bit funny about that whole thing. It's like, man, this could be one of those games that people look at and go, well, yeah, Purdy doesn't have to do a lot. It's a lot of, you know, check downs and stuff like that. But I thought he was smart with it. I thought there were some moments in the pocket where it was clear he had gone through his progressions. There's nothing there. And instead of trying to force something downfield, he's just taking the easy yards. And frankly, I think they need to do more of that, especially in big moments where, man, you don't have to get it all at once. You can get it to Christian McCaffrey for a first down and you've just eaten 11 yards and gotten a fresh set of downs out of it. So I thought it was really good. Even if the game plan wasn't like attack, 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 because as you just pointed out, the moments where they did have opportunities on the field, he made the plays.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both, right? When you're talking about Kyle Shanahan's game plan, like I just think in my mind he did not want to accept Brock to the pass rush of Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne.
That makes sense.
Against the 49ers interior, right? Like mm-hmm. I think if you're opening, like the strength of Washington's defense obviously is their defensive tackles. So right. Like if you can put yourself in a scenario where you're getting the ball out quickly and trying to neutralize them as much as possible, I think that makes sense. And it speaks to,
that's a good point,
probably the 49ers' biggest concern offensively. It's just always going to be the offensive line, everyone but uh-huh. Trent Williams. They can run block really well, and we saw them mm-hmm. do that for the majority of the game today. But you do not want to be in a situation where you have to drop back with your interior guys, which is you know, I don't know how much they missed Aaron Banks today, but it just always feels like when they go against a good defensive front, particularly interior guys, the Niners are not winning that battle in pass protection, at least. So that to me is my read on it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. To me, this was like a pretty forgettable game.
Yeah.
It was like, they sort of struggled in the first half, B minus C plus performance. They got through it. But now you do have Christian McCaffrey's calf injury. But the good part is now you have two extra weeks for him.
Right. So Washington, I was just doing some quick math here, had the 9-play 46-yard drive where they kicked the field goal, right, in the second quarter. Then the 9-play 79-yard drive where they got the touchdown. It was just a lot of Brian Robinson just kind of being a battering ram. And then they had the 10-play 74-yard drive that ended in the Charvarius Ward interception. Outside of those three drives, they had 16 plays for 26 yards, Washington did.
Wow.
That is nuts.
That's good on the spot math by you.
Thanks, man. Especially because I had to throw a negative one in there. That's hard for me. I kind of thought it was, I put this on the internet. It's like, man, if I didn't know any better, I'd think the 49ers were on a short week with a cross-country flight and a 10 a.m. Pacific time kick. Like, that's kind of how it looked. They did what they needed to do. They had two chances inside the two and came away with three total points. Like, that's not awesome. But I also think, like, the second one, they just went to Elijah Mitchell, right, up the middle on fourth and goal. That was clear, just, hey, if he happens to get in here, great. If not, we're giving him the ball at the one. It's like, if they needed a touchdown there, I think they probably get a little more creative. And if they needed this game in a way where it was close, you may see McCaffrey on the field. So I'm not even super concerned with the red zone stuff today, because I really think they, especially after McCaffrey went down, I really think it was like a, all right, just do what you got to do to get through this one. And they just, they did.
I also, the last one, the fourth down try to Elijah Mitchell, like, you know, I think you can just kind of throw that one out.
Shanahan wasn't going to
reach deep into the bag for that one with the game already in line. So
this is the play call is like, turn around and hand it to him. Like, pick a direction. You choose. Like, dealer's choice, man. Yeah. Speaking of Elijah Mitchell, though, 17 carries for 80 yards, a long of 15. He had a touchdown, his first of the year. All year, even before McCaffrey got banged up in this game, all year it was like, dude, they need somebody reliable who can go get chunk plays in the run game. And Elijah Mitchell, when he's been healthy, hasn't been consistently doing that. Like, he's come in and it's been, two carries for 4 yards. But today they needed him. I thought he looked explosive. He was really decisive. He was breaking tackles. He looked like the Elijah Mitchell from his rookie year when he rushed for, 960 something yards. He's really, really good that year. So if they're getting that version of Elijah Mitchell where they feel good about putting him on the field and letting Christian McCaffrey rest, or putting him on the field with Christian McCaffrey, where that rushing workload, McCaffrey had 13 carries in the first half. That shouldn't all be on him, particularly in a game like this one. So I thought Elijah Mitchell breaking out, putting up 80 yards on 17 carries was really, really good news for the 49ers, especially going into
You remember last year, even as productive as McCaffrey was after the trade, Elijah Mitchell was still getting a lot of carries late in games, right? Yes. Like, he was salting the game away in a lot of cases for the 49ers last year. So I think, particularly for the playoffs, right? Like, you just to be able to have somebody have another club in your bag, if you're Kyle Shanahan, is big, because, you know, for most of this season, it's basically felt like you have a huge drop off when Christian McCaffrey isn't in the game. And that's probably contributed to Christian McCaffrey feeling like he needs to play every snap.
Yeah.
Right. So if you can get Elijah Mitchell going and in rhythm going into the playoffs, then that could be massive, because, you know, not only do you have another weapon potentially, but you also just have more depth, which allows you to maximize Christian McCaffrey a little bit differently and not giving him, you know, 25, 30 touches a game in the playoffs. If you can keep Christian McCaffrey to like 20 touches in the playoffs, you're probably down in and down out, you're probably going to get more out of him just from an efficiency perspective rather than just running into the ground like the 49ers seem to be doing this year. But again, we cannot overstate the value of the Cardinals beating the Eagles today and ensuring the 49ers get the one seed before week 18.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how much that helps the 49ers. Like that, we cannot overstate the importance of that.
Especially, I know the Rams struggled today against the Giants, and they probably should have lost that game. The Giants did not manage the clock and their yardage well at the end of that game at all. But the Rams prior to that were playing really, really well. And that's just not a game. You don't want to go into week 18 needing to win against a division rival that is red hot. Like, that's just not a situation any team, particularly a team that's banged up, wants to be in. Because now what if you lose that game and now you got to turn around and you're banged up and now you got to play on wild card weekend? Like, it could have gotten really, really ugly. And it's so funny, the difference in the vibe now. Like, they lose last week and it's like, oh boy, like now this gets hairy. And now all of a sudden everything goes their way on Sunday and we're going, oh, well, all right, everything's fine now, I guess.
Yeah, like imagine needing that game next week and then like Christian McCaffrey, you play him and then like he strains his calf and then you lose the game and now you have Christian McCaffrey banged up and you have to play wild card weekend, like you said.
Yeah.
Right. Like this, all of that is off the table. Like they don't, the 49ers absolutely don't, like they don't have to play anybody next week.
And if you haven't seen any of the video I posted, Kiana Martin, former 49ers team reporter and now television extraordinaire,
friend of the pod,
posted a video on Twitter of the 49ers watching the game in the tunnel. The end of the Cardinals Eagles game. And you could tell, like, by the celebration from the 49ers, they knew how badly they needed that. That wasn't like, all right, yeah, number one seed, great. Like, it was like you could feel the, not sigh of relief, but the like, okay, there was some urgency there that they really desperately needed the one seed. And now I think, now you don't have to, if they were thinking about maybe trying to push Eric Armstead back, now you can rest him another week. Trent Williams with the groin, Aaron Banks, who was active today but didn't play. John Feliciano started at left guard. Hey, it's just, we'll probably say this again on the midweek pod. It just cannot be overstated how massive Sunday was for the 49ers.
Yeah, you get the bye, which I think is the most important thing too. But if you're the Niners and you've played on this team for the last few years, you think about all the heartbreak that the team's endured in the playoffs.
Yep.
You don't have to go on the road for the NFC Championship game potentially now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like they host the NFC Championship game. Yep. And if they get there, obviously they have to get there first.
Right.
1 week at a time. But
yeah, you know what? Hey, you know what? Actually, screw that. I'm looking past the Rams. I'm doing it.
They can rest easy knowing that they get the bye, which is the most important thing, but they also aren't going to have to go to Philadelphia or go to Dallas or go anywhere else for the NFC Championship game should they win in the divisional round. So the whole goal for the entire season, for the entire regular season for the Niners was to get the one seed.
Yep.
And as bad as the game was last week against Baltimore, they got there with a game to spare. And I think with the exception of the Baltimore game, and I even in the context of the Baltimore game, the regular season, frankly, could not have gone much better for the Niners. Like this is what the team was designed to do.
Yep.
Like this was their goal, get the one seed. And now they do it with a week left in the regular season. They can rest everybody they want to. Go into the playoffs as fresh as possible. And should they win the divisional round, they won't have to go on the road. And frankly, the only time we've seen the 49ers just in their playoff run since Kyle Shanahan's been here, the only time they've gone to the Super Bowl is when they've been the one seed.
Yep.
And so now they have that in their back pocket and they can go make a run and you know, try to win the Super Bowl. It's the goal here.
Wild. I have a couple things. One, just so we're all caught up on the tiebreaker stuff, the reason the 49ers have clinched is because they have the head-to-heads over Dallas and Philly. So max wins for Dallas, Philly, and Detroit is 12. That's how many the 49ers have. They have the head-to-heads on Dallas and Philly. And then with Detroit, it then goes to division record. And Detroit already has two losses in the division. The 49ers have none. So even if they lose to the Rams, it doesn't
Is it division record or conference record?
I believe it's division record, but either way, the 49ers have it wrapped up. They're 10-1 in the conference, and Detroit is now 7-4. So, yeah, it's just a huge, huge game for San Francisco to win this one and to get an Eagles loss. The other note, I was just looking at this. The 49ers' strength of victory, so the winning percentage of the teams they've beaten is 471. That's tied for the highest among playoff teams in the NFC with Philadelphia. Philadelphia also at 471. Arizona, 587. Now that they've beaten the Eagles, the Ravens lead the AFC at 539. Lead AFC playoff teams, man.
I didn't see a snap of Baltimore and Miami today, but I did see, because I went up against them in my fantasy championship. I did see Lamar threw for 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's definitely wrapped up the MVP.
Yeah, it's sealed up. He could kneel it every time he gets a snap next week.
Did they clinch the one seed?
Yeah, they did. Just verifying here. Because I said it was division and then the homie Wood Gravy pulled up and said conference. Just to verify here, according to the NFL, head-to-head is first, division is second, common games is third, conference play is fourth. That goes for when if it's two or three, two-way tiebreaker or a three-plus team tiebreaker. Head-to-head, division, common games, and conference. Just to clarify.
Got it.
If you get all the way down to the 12th tie-breaking procedure, it's a coin toss.
Glad we didn't get there. That'd be a hell of a thing to have to talk about.
The conference thing is a tie-break for the wild card teams.
Okay.
So it'd be head-to-head, and then it's conference.
So the tiebreakers change based on what seed...
Correct.
Is that stake?
Correct.
That's
so weird. For the division winners, the tiebreak is division, and then for the wild card stuff, it's conference.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Now let's pause the 49ers talk real quick and talk about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in America. It is my favorite way to watch sports. It has greatly enhanced the sports watching experience, and I think it'll do the same for you to earn a little cash. So join us on Prize Picks. I'm telling you, it's not, and even like with basketball season, they do the specials leagues where they do like combo entries where it's like, it'll be like Travis Kelce and LeBron James, and it'll be more or less than 10.5 combined three-pointers and catches. It's a really fun thing, and it's such a cool way to enhance your sports watching experience. So definitely join me and Chris. We can help you out with that. PrizePicks.com/candlestick. Use promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's PrizePicks.com/candlestick. Promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. You can do it on the web. There's an app. I use the app. Super easy to use. You're going to love it. Please join us at PrizePicks. Daily fantasy sports made easy. Hey, y'all, it's Kyle from Candlestick Chronicles, and I am so psyched to talk to you about HelloFresh. That's America's number one meal kit. Now, I know that you want to save money in the new year, and you want to eat better. You want to stress less. Well, that's what HelloFresh is here to help you with. They can do all three. So say hello to your most delicious year yet with fresh ingredients and chef-crafted recipes at a price you'll like. And the best part is it's delivered right to your front door. And I know you're sitting there and you're going, you know what? That sounds great, but I feel like I'm probably going to get the same recipes over and over again. I like to mix it up. Well, that's okay because you don't have to worry about that. HelloFresh has already had a ton of options, but now they have more options than ever before. You can dig into their biggest menu yet. They have over 45 dinner options to choose from weekly and even more market add-on items that suit any lifestyle, any diet you're working with, any lifestyle you got. HelloFresh has got you covered. And look, I'm telling you, I'm as busy as anybody as I know. My wife is as busy as anybody I know. We love HelloFresh. We get it directly to our door. We get 3 meals a week. And we just know, hey, dinner's taken care of. Even on the busiest nights, they have these quick and easy meals that we don't have an excuse now. We don't say like, oh, we don't have time to grocery shop. Oh, we don't have time to cook that. HelloFresh takes care of all of it. And I am not a cook. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm not a chef. I am like... not good at cooking, straight up. No matter how many video tutorials, no matter how much Chopped I watch, I am not a good cook. But HelloFresh makes it super easy. It's a step-by-step recipe card they give you. There's images, there's words. No matter what type of learner you are, you can do it. I promise, because I can do it. I cook the heck out of some HelloFresh, and I am not a skilled chef in any way, shape, or form. So I know that you'll be able to do it too. Go to HelloFresh.com/candlestickfree and use code candlestickfree for free breakfast for life. That's right. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/candlestickfree. With code CANDLESTICKFREE. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Yo, it's your homies Kyle and Chris for Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops because they have some really cool looking stuff that your bland ass boy over here is not very good at styling on his own. And so I pop over to the Instagram. I see how other people are dressing themselves in. Maybe it's the wolf shorts or the lion shorts, or maybe it's a pair of joggers, or maybe it's the ash gray hoodie that you and I love so much. And I base my outfits off of that, and it always makes me look dope, which is the single most important thing.
And it's also comfortable. It's also high quality. Yeah. It's super stylish. They're conversation starters, honestly. They also have kid sizes on here too.
Yes,
that is. And everything's correct. Unisex. We should point out also. So, yeah. No matter if you're a man or woman, these clothes will look great on you.
Or a child. They have children's sizes and a lot of their stuff as well. Use promo code Candlestick20 today to get 20% off your order, or you can do it tomorrow or whenever. Candlestick20 is a promo code any day of the week to get 20% off your order from SGLambChops.com. Shout out to them. We really appreciate their support, and we would appreciate it if you support them by going to SGLambChops.com and ordering some dope, comfortable, high-quality clothing. Join the herd today.
Yeah, weird. I mean... This was what
I feel bad because I wish I had more to say about this game from the 49ers standpoint, but they didn't look great, but that was kind of expected. They still won by 17. If they had really, really wanted to, they probably could have won by 4 touchdowns. It just wasn't necessary in this one. Just get through it.
I think one thing that was pretty concerning though was the fact that the Washington offensive line, which was missing 3 starters.
That's a great point.
Just pushed around the Niners defensive front for most of the game until the Niners pushed the lead and Washington had to just drop back and pass. When Washington could run the ball, I thought they ran the ball way too easily. I didn't think Javon Kinlaw played all that well. Even Javon Hargrave in the run game wasn't all that good. Now, do we chalk this up to it being a short week and a long flight and all those things? Maybe. Mm-hmm. The Niners generally have been very good against the run, and they have a lot of equity when it comes to the way you talk about them defending the run over the last few years. But if we're going to talk about things that are like actually concerning, I don't know. I don't feel great about that. So they very clearly miss Arik Armstead. Like if there was...
Yeah.
It's been very, very clear, I think, throughout the last few weeks when Armstead's been hurt. They miss him a lot, and he's immensely valuable to them. Because while Hargrave's a good pass rusher, he's not like a run-stuffing defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And while Armstead's not like an elite pass rusher at defensive tackle, he's really, really good against the run.
Yeah.
And so for them to go to the Super Bowl and win it, I think they need Armstead back healthy. And the point you made earlier, I mean, it applies to everybody who's dealing with an injury on the team, but now that they have an extra week with the one seed already wrapped up, that's huge for them.
Yeah, not impetus, but like there's no urgency to bring Armstead back early. Yeah. They can just fully let him sit out another week of practice and sit out another game. But I'm right there with you. Not that like a team loaded like this comes down to Arik Armstead, who's, you know, a good player, but nobody's confusing him for Nick Bosa or Fred Warner. You just, the run defense with him on and off the field is just, it's night and day. he's really important to what they do. And in that situation, you have him and Hargrave starting, and now you're pushing Sebastian Joseph Day into a rotational role, and you're pushing Devon Kinlaw into a rotational role where you can really kind of pick and choose spots where you can try and set them up for success more than right now, where it's like, hey, just need bodies. Just everybody's going to play probably more than you want them to. So I just getting Eric Armstead right is going to be huge. And I think the other aspect of this is, I mentioned this at the top, their defense looks a little bit to me like it did a little bit, not exactly, but a little bit like it did before the bye week this year. Or it's like, man, they could use a week off. And they do such a good job of self-scouting, and they do such a good job of adjusting, particularly offensively. But Steve Wilks did an awesome job after the bye week adjusting and tweaking the defense a little bit. That bye week, and I think this week a little bit too, they can start that process where we saw them come out of the bye and look like an entirely different team. Not necessarily on both sides of the ball, but particularly on defense. So I think that's where now you get those 2 weeks, ostensibly 2 weeks off, to really kind of dig in and look at what they're doing on both sides of the ball. That should be advantageous come playoff time too.
Totally agree.
I think that's it for
totally
me.
Totally agree. Yeah, that's all I got. I'm still amazed. Like, I might just like tune in to stream some like Eagles sports talk radio this week, particularly like a call-in show.
Oh, WIP, man, that's gonna be electric.
The Eagles honestly should be ashamed of themselves. Like, if we're just being real, like you have to win that game. You have to win that game if you're Philadelphia.
Here's the like. I had some friends go to Philly for the NFC title game last year and did not have a great experience even before the game started.
Right.
But
Eagles fans think, not known for being super accommodating.
Yeah. And I don't even mind that. But when it comes to the like racial stuff, and that's not okay. That's just being a bad person. That's not being a good fan. What I will say that I respect about Eagles fans, and I think part of the reason that people think they're such good fans, is because you just said you have to win that game. Like, that's we always make fun of the use of inexcusable in sports talk, but like, that's an inexcusable loss, and Eagles fans all know it. Like, there's not going to be Eagles fans calling in like, the ref screwed us, this and that. They're going to be like, fire Sirianni, blow it up, get Jalen Hurts out of here. Like, it's going to be people are going to be really upset, and I respect that. I respect football fans that lean that way.
The Cardinals outgained the Eagles 449 to 275.
Oh,
the Cardinals ran the ball 40 times for 221 yards, and a half yards a clip. Jalen Hurts, 18 of 23 for 167 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick.
And they got, dude, and they got a 99 yard pick six.
Right. Right.
I mean, the Cardinals were going in to score again.
Yeah.
It was 7-3 at that point, right? Yeah, that made it 14-3. Yeah. That was the play. I was like, oh, this game's toast. Like, this game's over. Like, if the Cardinals can't go score for score with them, they're giving up a defensive touchdown. It's done.
Man. I didn't think the Eagles were as good as their record, particularly when they played the Niners. Like, I thought there was probably a game or two that swung their way that maybe shouldn't have. But they feel more fraudulent now than they ever did.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. I don't know if they just didn't adjust to their new coordinators, or if Hurts is banged up or what, but man, they were...
I think Hurts is banged up. The personnel on defense outside of their front seven, or even just their front four, just isn't very good. Like, I don't think their linebackers are very good. I don't think that their secondary is very good. I think their corners are fine, but I don't think their safeties are any good.
They could definitely still win the Super Bowl, but man, we're going to have a lot of revisionist history on Howie Roseman getting Kevin Byard.
Sure.
From the Titans. The football community when that happened was like, Howie Roseman's done it. How does he keep doing it? Well, you know, I don't know. But maybe they go win the Super Bowl and Howie Roseman's a genius, but I don't think that's happening.
Only 3 games in the late window today.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's weird. Niners also caught a break from I think the officiating in the Lions Cowboys game.
Oh boy. Look, here's the I'm with the people that are on this line of thinking, and Nick Wagner, who we haven't mentioned yet, so here it is. Shout out to Nick. Covers the 49ers for ESPN, does a great job. he basically pointed out, like, look, man, the Lions made that confusing on purpose. And they did. That they had 58 and 68 go to the ref, and 68 was doing the eligible thing. Then you have 70 running onto the field, you know, whether he's tugging his jersey or doing the thing. They purposely made that confusing because they wanted the Cowboys defense to be confused, and they confused the official in the process.
It sucks.
The officials need to be better.
But the officials absolutely need to be better. I lean more towards like the officials screwed that up. I understand the
I
understand the argument that the Lions made things overly complicated, but like to be an NFL official, you have to be a extremely high functioning individual.
Correct.
Right.
There's so and much there's, going on.
There's a lot going on. But if Dan Campbell really did speak to the officials about that specific play and that specific substitution and eligibility thing before the game, then I think the Lions absolutely have every right to be upset.
Yeah. Although, but, man, you're going up to a ref before a game and going, hey, in this situation, we're going to have 68 reporters eligible. 58's going to walk up to him as well. 70's also going to run onto the field toward you on purpose, but don't just 68's going to be eligible. Like, he's not.
But if it works, then we're talking about how smart the Lions are.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
So, sure. Let me back up. It's 100% on the officials. The officials have to get it right. Like that's their job. So that's EOD. The deal is there?
Yeah. If the Lions like it obviously was like very loud, right? It's the end of the fourth quarter on the road. It's probably very loud. Like the Lions do need to be very deliberate in making sure the official knows.
Mm-hmm.
So like I get that part of the argument, but to me it's about officiating. Like more so than anything else, assuming everything the Lions have been saying is true and what happened.
The officiating at this point doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
No, and that's the same crew that screwed up the end of game situation in Green Bay with the Chiefs and that non-pass interference call this year.
Yeah, man.
So it's not they definitely don't get the benefit of the doubt in that scenario. So I'm curious to see if anything comes from that. I can't imagine the Lions are going to like protest the game or anything like that, but the Niners, it is a break. Like basically the Niners needed Detroit to lose and they needed obviously the Cardinals to beat Philadelphia. So they got both of those things and they got the one seed. Just super fortuitous.
Two other things on this. One, Mike McCarthy's clock management after the interception
Horrendous.
Was as bad as I have ever seen. That was abominable. And it's why I think the Cowboys are never going to win anything as long as Mike McCarthy is their coach.
I'm with you. Like as good and as talented as they've been, and whether or not Dak was playing at an MVP level or the defense was the best in the league, it's really hard for me to ever take them seriously in the playoffs.
Right. If they do it, great. Okay, I'll be wrong then. But I'm not betting on a Mike McCarthy team because of things like that. Because of the QB draw when you don't have any timeouts and there's 13 seconds left or whatever there was against the Niners. Like, it's just, and then he tries to draw them off sides on a 4th and 6. And it was literally like it's like he doesn't have he just goes, oh, wait, this seems like a spot that I should do this. Okay, I'm just going to do that. And then he said after the game on the reason they passed it 3 times after the interception, he was like, wanted to be aggressive there and put the game away. Like, no, that's a thing. If you is 4th and goal at the 1 and you could kick a field goal to make it 8 or you could score a touchdown to put it out of reach, that's where you do the, we're trying to be aggressive and put the game away. Not throw it 3 damn times when they have 2 timeouts. That's insane. The other thing is, and again, this is not to say that the officials did everything right for the Lions on that 2-point conversion, but continuing to try and go for it after the penalty and then again after the other penalty on Dallas, I just thought that was the Lions being on tilt. I thought that was Dan Campbell doing the wrong thing at that point.
I thought JT O'Sullivan had the best tweet of Dan Campbell's or tweet breaking down Dan Campbell's decision making. Mm-hmm. I get Dan Campbell wanting to be the guy that's like, we're going to go for it no matter what. Like, cool.
Right. But the fourth down earlier in the game where they left points on the board. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. I mean, the Lions, there was incompetency all around. Mike McCarthy was really bad with his decision making and clock management late in the game. Dan Campbell not kicking the field goal early in the game. You lose by two. Like, sorry. Mm-hmm. Or you lose by one. Either way, you kick a field goal there, you win the
lost
game.
Lost by a couple.
Lost by a couple. Yeah. So, what JT O'Sullivan said essentially was like, I get wanting to go for it there, but you just have to be adaptable.
Yep.
Or you have to, I think he said your decision making needs to be dynamic. You can't just be hard headed and just be like, no, we're going for this no matter what. Like, because after the penalty, to your point, just kick it. Like, I don't know exactly what the probabilities are, but the probabilities go down substantially when you're 5 yards back.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. And I'm fully on board with going for two there. You have a chance to score and go for the win from 2 yards out, or you kick the extra point, and then you got to get a stop, and then you got to go to OT, and then you got to maybe get a stop in OT or score a touchdown. Like, it's just, I get that, and I actually like it, but continuing to go for it was, like I said, that was just him being pissed off and not thinking in the moment, I think.
Yeah, and it's sort of the idea that he was on tilt was sort of exemplified by how he handled his press conference, too.
That was crazy. That was nuts, dude.
That's I understand. Like, I don't think Kyle Shanahan really does this so often, but press conferences can be really telling when you have emotional mm-hmm. coaches and emotional players. Mm-hmm. And Dan Campbell's press conferences are always super telling. Like, guy was definitely on tilt.
Yeah,
like emotionally, like, you know, you have to be very, very emotionally stable to be a head coach in the league. And that's ultimately one of Jim Harbaugh's things. Like,
yeah,
Jim Harbaugh gets emotionally hijacked quite easily. Amazing.
Don Yee client.
Complete aside. Jim Harbaugh hiring an agent leading up to the game. And then any question he answers about when he's posed about, you know, his possible future in the NFL, which he's going to try to get an NFL job. There's no question about it.
There's going to be so many of them open.
Just to say that he has a one-track mind and he's only focused on the game, and then for there to be a report coming out that he's hired an agent.
That's so funny, dude.
It's so funny, dude. It's going to be great. Exactly what I thought was happening is going to happen. That he's going to bolt for the NFL. The NCAA is going to have all these ridiculous findings. Michigan's going to get, like, suspended from postseason play for 2 years. And Jim Harbaugh's just be like, whoop, wasn't me. I'm coaching the Chargers now.
Right.
It's going to be amazing.
Man, it really feels like it's heading that direction.
Yeah. Anyway, who could have seen this coming?
Not literally nobody. Yeah, I am. The 49ers definitely got helped out by the Lions, or by the officiating in the Lions game. They got helped out by the Cowboys. And then, man, the Cardinals.
Everything crazy. Broke well. Let's end it on that. The Niners regular season went to plan. As bad as the Ravens game was, they still got the one seed with a week left in the season. And they're, you know, knock on wood, with the exception of maybe Christian McCaffrey dealing with a calf injury, they have all their guys healthy.
Yeah, and there was, like, they took a wrong turn, and there was some snow, and then they almost ran out of gas, and then they took another wrong turn, but they got there on time, where they needed to be. And
as disappointing as maybe, like, Brock Purdy not winning the MVP after seemingly having so much MVP momentum, if you were to go back to August or September and say Brock Purdy would finish top two or three in the MVP race, he'd probably take
it. Also, shout out to Brock Purdy for setting the 49ers single season passing yards record. That's a thing that happened today.
And he only needed 16 games.
Yeah. And it probably good, because he's not going to get a 17th.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned if he's on the field in week 17.
I would too.
I don't think he's going to get comeback player of the year, because he didn't miss anything other than the NFC title game.
You can make a case. That's like, you definitely could. Award.
It is. I hadn't thought about this until recently when somebody brought it up. And I was like, that's kind of an interesting thing. Did he come back from, like, he had major elbow surgery in the offseason, but he didn't miss any games. I mean, like I said, except for the NFC title game. But outside of that, like, he was ready by week one. If he had missed the first 3 or 4 weeks and then come back and done this, maybe, but.
Didn't Ryan Tannehill?
I'm on the wood gravy train here. Like, Damar Hamlin.
Yeah, he's probably going to get
after dying on the field almost. Technically. I don't. the fact that he's playing football still is incredible. So
comeback player of the year, didn't in 2019, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Ryan Tannehill win it when Jimmy Garoppolo came back from the ACL injury?
Yes, correct.
And he won it. He came back from like being benched and not being very good. Yes. While
Geno Jimmy Smith Garoppolo came back from a knee injury. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird award.
It's a very strange award. They need like a breakout player and then a like comeback player.
Yeah, they should name the awards
or something.
Yeah, they should name the awards after player. Do like the Bryant Young Comeback Player of the Year Award or something, because like right. Bryant Young coming back from the knee injury, like that's very specific.
Yeah.
And then like a guy who comes from out of nowhere award and like plays well despite
breakout being star, on a most improved before comeback yeah. player. I think that's just it should. It's easy work, man.
There's you could do a quarterback of the year. You could do a most outstanding player. I think doing a most outstanding player would be more helpful than most valuable.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway, let's get out of here. I gotta.
Yeah, we're done. You have work to do.
Kings Grizz to get to.
Yeah.
Gonna go Enjoy to the that. Grindhouse,
dude. Javi, De'Aaron Fox. Could be a fun one.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Everybody, thank you for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, before you go, hit that thumbs up for us. We would appreciate the heck out of that. Also, subscribe to the channel. Hit that little notification bell. You'll get notified whenever we go live, which we do after every single game and a couple times during the week. Also, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. So thanks for everybody who's hanging out live. We appreciate the heck out of it. And thanks to everybody who subscribes. We really, really enjoy doing this, and we couldn't do it without you. Another year in the books, man. Final show.
No, 2023. Good year.
Really, really good.
Well, good year.
Yeah. For some of us. overall, though, really appreciate. I lost my job, but it's fine. I got a new one. I'm on to bigger and better things. On to bigger and better things. So no, I'm with you, man. Really good year. And
you're hosting a show. It's great, with the exception of Tuesdays at around 11 a.m.
Those 15 minutes we just hit this tank.
Just really, I mean, the numbers are good. I don't know what it is about the numbers for your show. From everyone like, must go somewhere
this,
else.
Like, God, the numbers are great, and then there's just this dip. It just craters.
15 minutes, this is one segment. I don't get it. That's
weird. No.
Hopefully, the world still exists after 2024. We'll see.
Fingers crossed, man. We're podding through it regardless. All right, guys. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Plenty more to come in 2024. 49ers 27, Washington 10. The 49ers are the number one seed in the NFC. And now the real season starts.
Happy Goodbye, New everybody. Year.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.